Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Have your Bibles with you this evening. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we're going to be considering verses 24 through 29. This takes us through the end of chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 through 29. Before we hear the reading and preaching of God's word, let's go before him once again together in prayer. Father, we come now to your word, thanking you for it. We pray that the Spirit would work in us, that we wouldn't tune out or gloss over it today. Rather, we pray that we would be attentive and that you would sanctify us by your truth. Cause it to have deep impact in our hearts and lives, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. First John chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, hear now the holy word of God. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Amen. Thus far the reading of his holy word. Well, people of God, as we've considered the importance of not only acknowledging but confessing Christ, we are reminded of what we must hold on to regarding the doctrine of Jesus. He is the Christ, the incarnate Word. The one whom some mock and deny is the one whom we proclaim as our risen and ascended Lord. John has just pointed out the heresies being taught in the church. He also identified the apostates who taught them, those who were amongst God's people and those who had walked away from Christ and the church. And though it can be discouraging to see such people leave, John teaches us that we aren't to be shocked. In fact, we are to expect that apostates will try to introduce false teaching in the church, and we are to expect that they will also depart from the church, the chaff being blown away, leaving the wheat on the threshing floor. And yet, we are to be on guard and aware, are we not? God's children are those who remain steadfast in the church, pressing forward in the faith, knowing and being encouraged that we have the anointing from Christ. And so John goes on to say that considering this test regarding those who deny and those who confess Christ, there is something we must do in order to press forward for the glory of Christ. We are to abide in the teachings of the apostles. And this is a crucial message for us to hear today. We need to abide in such teaching, verses 24 through 26. We also need to abide in the Spirit, verse 27. And thirdly, we need to abide in Christ, verses 28 through 29. If you hear the repetition there, abiding is important. So John begins in verse 24a, in talking about abiding in the teaching of Christ and the apostles. He says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Now, when he says abide, the teachings about the doctrine of Christ are to stay or to dwell and continue in us. In the Greek, this word abide is a present active imperative, which means that John recognized that the saints were doing this, but he also was telling them that they must continue to abide in the truth. And there is good reason to. This was the pure truth of Christ and his gospel, which they heard from the beginning, from the threshold of their salvation, contrary to the deceptions and the lies that were pressed and presented more recently. Matthew Henry said it well. He said, truth is older than error. The truth concerning Christ that was at first delivered to the saints is not to be exchanged for novelties, he said. The Christian truth may plead antiquity and be recommended thereby. And Henry is right. How easy it can be to be lured to new paths, to be tantalized by the novel, though the truth remains in the old paths. You can put new lipstick on a pig and you can present it as something that's fresh and exciting, but the fact remains is that it's still a pig. It's still a lie. Where does the truth lie? The truth lies in the teaching of Christ and the apostles. And that's what John was teaching them and teaching us tonight. So Paul also knew and taught the churches in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that the pure teaching of the truth is something that we aren't to turn from. We see in beginning in verse 6, he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. In other words, it wasn't truly a gospel at all. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But then notice what he says in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Strong words. And notice the three big things that Paul speaks to here. First, his surprise and sorrow that the people were quickly being drawn away to error. And second, that the message that they were being deceived by wasn't truly the gospel. And third, the curse that would be upon those who preach or teach a false gospel is very real and present. There is a grave seriousness, beloved, against those who seek to deceive and draw away God's people. The truth must never be exchanged. And therefore, it is paramount that God's people know the truth, stand on the truth, and reject the lies. You likely know people, my friends, who are worked up and excited about the trendy churches which come with the new and trendy teachings. The ones that are, quote unquote, relevant for us today. Among others, the woke movement has risen up and shown to be a deception, has it not? Under the guise of relevance, it has crept in, even has been welcomed with open arms by some, and their racial and social justice dogma has been woven into the fabric of some of those churches. And they are now woke churches. Social justice has been attached to the gospel. But John teaches us how to be biblically relevant in any and every generation. We need to understand and to dwell and to proclaim those things that we have heard from the beginning. being truly relevant, is standing on and proclaiming the teachings of the apostles in the Bible. The pure truth about Christ and Him crucified and risen victorious from the dead. The pure truth of the Word, void of the twists and the additions of the world, void of this dogma that would come from such movements as woke, are the spiritual grounding men and women need. We need to stand on those pure truths, even those from the old paths. And so John says that the truth must abide in us. And as it does, it shows forth evidence of our relationship with God. Verse 24b. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father, John said. Now, if you recall from last week in verses 22 through 23, negatively, John taught that those who deny that Jesus is the Christ are antichrist. And further, those who deny the Son don't have the Father either. And here in verse 24, positively, if the truth that we've heard from the beginning abides in us, it dwells in us, we will also abide in the Father and the Son. And so what does this mean? Well, obedience, dwelling in the truth, is the fruit of perseverance and points to our union with Christ. It points to our being His disciples. And further, Jesus is the mediator by whom we are united to the Father. Remember that Jesus spoke to this in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. It says there, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are many who claim to be followers and disciples of Christ, beloved. But those who abide in His word show themselves to be true disciples. Christ's disciples are recipients of promise. In John 8, Jesus gave them two promises. And look at those two promises. Number one, He promised that they would know the truth. And secondly, and connected to that, that the truth would make them free. In our justification, we are free from the guilt of sin. In our sanctification, we are made free from the bondage of corruption. And in Christ, we are free from the yoke of the ceremonial law. We are free to serve God. We have access to the privileges of being sons and daughters of God. And knowing and believing the truth makes us free from prejudices and from falsehood, from lies. As Christ gave promises to His true disciples in John chapter 8, John reminds his audience and us of God's great promise in verse 25 of 1 John 2. And what does he say in verse 25? And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears My word and believes in Him who sent Me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Beloved, the blessing and reward that we will receive by continuing in the faith is that we will continue in union with God and Christ and be thereby the recipients of His free promise of everlasting life. And this is an overwhelming joy for those who abide in Christ and His word to consider, for those who endure the pains and the trials and the temptations and the deceptions and sufferings of this life, to remember and to take joy in the life to come that will never end where we will always be with him. When all things are made new, when he returns and he brings the new heavens and the new earth, when we spend eternity with him in everlasting, wonderful, glorious, eternal life. John Calvin said this, I think it's helpful. Not only the beginning of a blessed life is to be found in the knowledge of Christ, but also its perfection. But no repetition of it can be too much, since it is well known that it has ever been a cause of ruin to men, that not being content with Christ, they have had a hankering to wander beyond the simple doctrine of the gospel. This is where John goes next in verse 26. The tendencies for men to have a hankering to wander beyond the simple doctrine of the gospel. Look at verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So John has educated and informed us so that we would not be deceived, though some will try. And now, take note that the word deceive, interestingly, in the Greek, is a participle of the root plenao. And even if you listen to the sounding of that word, plenao, this is where we get the word planet from. And if you look at the etymology of the word planet, it means a wandering body. And so here we find that to deceive is to cause one to wander, to lead them astray. The saints were continuing in sound doctrine, and yet there were those who were attempting to seduce them away from the truth and cause them to wander. They are wanderers, and they want you to wander with them, right out of the church. These people are duped, and they are willing to try to dupe others in their lives. They're willing to leave the church, but they don't want to leave alone. They want you to come with them. In Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17, we are told what we are to do with those who are teaching such error, for those who are attempting to make such wander. Paul says there, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple." And so we see in all of these passages, in these different pieces of truth, that we must abide in the apostolic teaching of Christ and the Scriptures. But verse 27, John says, abide in the Holy Spirit. He says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now, John told us before, in the previous verses, in the context, that we have the anointing from the Holy One. And now notice that the anointing abides in us. Now, here we find again the great importance of remembering the anointing that we have from God. And this verse is the second verse in this section of chapter 2, right? When I reference the other mention in the context, we see it in verse 20, where some often try to misapply the anointing that John teaches about. John wasn't teaching the people that because of their anointing or the spiritual privileges that they received from God, that they didn't need to listen to the instruction of godly men, that they didn't need to study and listen to the word, because the Holy Spirit would teach them directly. Often, you will find that people who think this will make idols in their own minds. They are tossed about by their own emotions, their thoughts, their feelings, not being grounded in the Word. And so what is John teaching us here? Well, God illuminates our hearts through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the true work of the Spirit accompanies the Word and keeps us in the truth of the gospel. John said the people didn't need to be retaught. They didn't need to retool their philosophy of life, so to speak, contrary to what the false teachers tried to deceive them to believe. The false teachers had come in and were trying to deceive them that they needed to reframe everything. They needed to go back through the school of re-education. No, the believers had the true foundation in the pure gospel. They knew the true Christ. And so they were to abide in the Holy Spirit, but also they were to abide in Christ, verses 28 through 29. And verse 28 says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Now, verse 28 is connected to the message of verse 25. If you look back, you can see that clearly. John connects our focus on life in the present with our standing before Christ when he returns. So he connects our focus on life in the present with our standing before Christ when he returns. Every believer desires to have confidence and not be ashamed when Christ returns. And God teaches us that we can have confidence when he comes again. In fact, Jesus is our confidence. We belong to him. And therefore, as we abide in Christ, we may have confidence before him when he returns. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And it is Jesus who is able to present us faultless before his glory with exceeding joy. And so we must abide in Christ, beloved. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So John was pointing out that the false teachers denied the righteousness of Christ. And this is an if-then statement. If you see that he is righteous, then you know something else. If you understand the righteousness of Christ, then you will understand what is true about those who practice righteousness, John taught us. And so, my friends, this passage concludes John's teachings on God being light. And we must be those who abide in him and the teachings he has given us through the apostles about Christ and the gospel, about the truths of his word. Don't be drawn away. Don't wander and dabble in other things, the things that are novel, the things that are new, the things that are deviations, even slight twists even to the pure gospel of Christ. No, the truth is older than error. The truth of Christ stands forever, and you stand on him. You stand on that. No matter where the world turns it, no matter where the world spins it, no matter how the word presses in, you stand on the word of God and what he has revealed about the Lord Jesus Christ to you. May God give us grace to abide in it, that we may be confident when he returns. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.